Getting some traffic reports now, Dick. Apparently on the north side, traffic is really tied up, and we have a lady on the line. Where are you, ma'am?
Well, I'm on 52nd.
Go ahead.
Hello. Something happened that they got hung up.
Hello.
We've got cut off. She was mentioning that the traffic on University and on the north side and on Highway 65, which goes on the north side, is extremely... It's just impassable, practically, because of the tie-up in traffic.
Yes, we have warnings from police to stay away, sightseers, because of badly blocked traffic, especially in North Minneapolis and Northeast Minneapolis. One of the real trouble spots, apparently, is University Avenue and Highway 100. Stay away from there. Gentleman just told us of the storm damage to his house in Golden Valley at Noble Avenue and Golden Valley Road.
I wish we could, but
and the first identification of a fatality came from Norwood, Minnesota, where a well-known Holstein breeder, Ray Perbix, was killed when the funnel hit his barn. His body was found about 100 feet away. His wife was injured in the same storm. 56-year-old Ray Perbix of Norwood, Minnesota. 15 to 20 homes were reported damaged at Norwood, and perhaps 30 to 40 barns damaged. I take that back. 15 to 20 homes were reported destroyed at Norwood. Apparently that funnel hit the town square. That was one of perhaps six or seven that came from southwest of the Twin Cities and bracketed and went through and over the Twin Cities earlier this evening. Danger area now lies in Wisconsin, northwest of the Twin Cities, and all of those counties we mentioned earlier should remain advised that for the next few hours there's a definite threat of severe thunderstorms and tornado activity in such counties as Barron County, Dunn County, Rusk, Chippewa, Polk, St. Croix, Pierce, and northern Eau Claire County.
Here's we had the lady back on the line that was talking about traffic on the north side. Are you there?
Yes.
Yes.
I said if the police had asked people to stay off University in 100, everybody and his brother must be on Highway 65 or Central Avenue in 100. I would guess that I know there have been some accidents because I've seen two ambulances and the police cars have been there. And then, of course, just beyond out Central Avenue is where the Spring Lake Park trouble developed, and I suspect all these people are headed across 100 to get over to see what they can see. But they're lined up from 100 way past the Robert Hall stores, so that's around about a mile back from 100. I can see the taillights, and the traffic up there, the police are trying to get it across. Many cars get discouraged and turn around and come back on the other lane.
Right. Well, thank you for calling with that report.
You're welcome.
We appreciate it. We can't make our plea strong enough. Please do not go and drive in the areas that have been hit, especially the north and northeast sides, parts of Minneapolis. And you won't be able to get very far anyway because of the traffic.
People keep calling and saying, has the tornado alert been lifted, or shall we stay in our basements? Well, you know, now that I think about it, Charlie, I don't know that we have to keep people in their basements. Of course, this is not up to us to say one way or the other, but I dare say you want to stay close to cover.
Right. They
until they lift the warning for the Twin Cities, which they
should
not
be able
done.
To get outside and take a look at the weather and judge.
Yes.
But, of course, as we said, these storms occur so rapidly, it really can't. You don't know.
I'll tell you the truth. It's these sightseers out stringing along the highway. I realize there are a lot of folks caught out accidentally who have to be out. But they're the people that may be in trouble if anything develops here, because you're going to have to find cover somewhere. You better stay close to it.
In the storm area in Spring Lake Park, there's some children that some people were worried about, and there are no phone lines, no way of communicating. And the children in the park music studio are safe and sound. They're in the basement, they're okay, and everything's fine. That's in Spring Lake Park. We're continuing to get calls. WCCO Radio.
I'm Mrs. Cotton. I'm calling. I live at 18th and 24th Street on South, and I want to know if the Twin Cities is out of danger.
No, the tornado warning is still in effect for the Twin Cities. They are predicting, or their warning of tornado and severe thunderstorm conditions in effect for the Twin Cities area and northeastward all the way into Wisconsin. They will later advise us when the warning is lifted.
Okay, thank you.
You betcha.
You're welcome.
I dare say that it's close to being lifted, though, because we're on the back end of it, as you know, as it were, the tail end. So if the stuff does develop, it's going to move northwestward into the Wisconsin region, and as it moves that direction, they'll pick up the tail end of the warning zone and cancel it out.
Dick, we have a report here from 42nd and Humboldt about storm damage.
North Minneapolis.
North Minneapolis, correct. How is traffic out that way?
Oh, it's okay. But the streets are all blocked up with trees.
The streets are all blocked up with trees. That's why the traffic is okay. They can't get anywhere.
How are the houses making out?
Well, this one man was building a brand new garage, and just as he got it finished, it was wrecked all over a lady's house.
Oh, really?
And then another man had his garage there, and his car was in it, and all is there is his car. His garage is completely demolished.
Just blew the garage away.
Yeah.
Well, then, but the houses themselves didn't take it so bad, huh?
No, just windows were messed up really bad.
I see.
And one person found a boat in their yard.
They found a boat in their yard?
They
don't know where it came from.
No.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, young man. Very good. Report from North Minneapolis.
The famous tornado that hit Kansas City about 8 years ago, recall that?
Yes, I do.
It hit a suburban area, or not, a south residential area. The boards from the houses on those terrible, destructive area there were found as much as 150 miles away in southern Missouri across towards St. Louis. And as much as 3 or 4 months after the tornadoes, the farmers in those areas were having difficulties with their cows. Cows have a tendency to eat the paint off of wood and what have you that they find laying around the field, and it has a poisoning effect. And that's some of the strange side effects of a tornado that can occur even many, many months afterwards.
A lot of hazards.
Mrs. Lewis, Louise Johnson in Fridley reports that three children are safe at her home, Renee and Jan Fernstall and Bill Massoff. Unable to bring them home because of storm damage in the area, apparently these kids sought some refuge when the storms hit in Fridley. Now I have an urgent request from the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office. Please stay away from the damaged areas, everyone. This is the sheriff saying this. Sightseers are seriously hampering the work of rescue squads, and the sheriff again requests stay away from damaged areas unless you have official business there. In Wisconsin, stay alert to severe weather for the rest of the evening at least. In Barron, Dunn, Rusk, Chippewa, Polk, St. Croix, Pierce, and northern Eau Claire County. That's the latest advisory from the Twin Cities Weather Bureau.
We haven't had any reports on air traffic in and out of the Twin Cities at the International Airport, and we assume everything is normal.
My wife, strangely enough, asked me a few moments ago, where are all these airplanes doing? Apparently they've been flying all evening. She's speaking of the commercial airliners and so forth.
Right.
It's my guess that they've had to hold, you know what I mean, in the pattern until the severe weather got away and then come in. And they
probably
do this between
watching
thunderstorms.
Watching it from 40,000 feet up.
They've got a much better vantage point than anyone else, and as a matter of fact, are much better capabilities to stay away from trouble because a funnel only goes about 20, 30 miles an hour. And these jets could actually fly rings around it if they had
yes.
to.
They fly above it, too.
That's true.
I thought I had a call there, but it's gone. Our friends from KSSM, mobile unit at Chanhassen, are listening, and they have another report on damage in that area. Bob Zellmer, are you listening?
Yes, Charlie and Dick. We have talked with Ed Hermstead, who is the proprietor of Ed's Super Fair here in Chanhassen, and he is one of the businessmen who have more or less pitched in here trying to keep things orderly as possible, at least. I just spoke with Ed a couple of minutes ago, and he informed me that out in Sunrise Acres, I believe he called the addition north of Chanhassen, just half a dozen blocks or so, he said there's considerable residential damage there. Also, considerable residential damage to the Scholler Nair addition, which is, practically on the north edge of the Chanhassen Business District. Now, Ed had estimated that perhaps in the vicinity of 40 to 50 homes had received extensive damage. So that's a little bit of a report more specifically on what we do have out here. So far, no real serious injuries reported, probably some cuts and bruises to be sure, but outside of that, nothing real serious. I might comment too, I came over from Chaska.
Yes, Bob? Bob
yes.
Zellmer. We got him now.
Go ahead.
Oh, Charlie and Dick, I was just going to comment. I came over from Chaska earlier, and there was no damage there. The power was on in Chaska. Now, this is at least an hour ago, so I don't know what the situation there would be at the precise moment. I might comment, too, that I came over from Shakopee before driving through Chaska, and the situation in Shakopee, when I came through there shortly before 8 o'clock, was normal, too. So apparently Chaska and Shakopee have escaped the brunt of the tornado force that came through. Now, it's still turbulent, real turbulent out here. You can see the whole sky lights up from time to time from lightning, and it is very turbulent here, and I think the tornado forecast, in effect, is very appropriate, at least judging from the appearance of the sky when the lightning does flash across the area. We talked with John Main, highway patrolman, at the time we came through Chaska earlier this evening, and John had just come down from the Waconia, Victoria area up to the north and to the west of Chanhassen, directly west of Excelsior, you might say, out on 7 and 5 over in that direction. And John said that there was evidence where terrific wind force had gone across roads in various spots, trees down, lines down, this sort of thing. So it's pretty general out throughout this whole area. And if we get more definite and more specific information, we'll let you know.
Very good. Thank you. Bob Zellmer reporting from the KSSM Mobile Unit in Chanhassen, reporting into WCCO Radio.
His reports of wind and rain and lightning hold true with the continuing stream of reports we have here within the past 5 minutes, such as half-inch hail in Hopkins and
St.
heavy
Louis
wind.
St. Louis Park just came in a report.
St. Louis Park says the hail's the size of ping-pong balls, and there's hail now at St. Anthony Village. That's pretty widespread hail all the way from the western edge of the Twin Cities all the way around to St. Anthony Village. So there's a pretty good little squall line moving through again on the north northwest edge of the Twin City area. Hopkins, St. Anthony Village, St. Louis Park, and Edina. Earlier we had a report of heavy hail, at least quarter-inch hail, not quite as big. The storm area now stretches from the Twin City area straight into Wisconsin northwest and includes about 8 or 10 Wisconsin counties in the immediate forecast future, such as Barron, Dunn, Rusk, Chippewa, Polk, St. Croix, Pierce, and northern Eau Claire counties in Wisconsin. Fallen trees and downed power lines are blocking most, if not all, routes north, south, and west of the Twin Cities. This information has just been handed to me, and it's particularly directed to those folks who have to drive or who are sightseeing and should not be. I'll repeat this. Fallen trees and downed power lines are blocking most, if not all, routes north, south, and west of the Twin Cities. These downed power lines would make any travel in these directions definitely inadvisable. Further information on specific routes will be available as soon as highway department crews can clear enough trees away to get out and look. All that's known for certain is that Highway 12 is closed in many places in the Minnetonka area. So you can't drive anywhere, and kindly stay away. There's been one serious sightseer's accident already in North Minneapolis. Both the sheriff, the highway patrol, and police departments of various communities are urging no sightseeing or no driving or traversing in the damage areas unless you have official business there. We're going to try to bring you some extra news here of other events of the day. We've been wrapped up with this storm story, of course, since about 6 o'clock this evening. There's quite a bit of other news that would normally be heard at this time on the Big Ten News, normally sponsored by Lund Stores. And we hope to bring Paul Giel in here a little bit later with the sports of the day in our usual time period here between 10 and 10:30. This is the Good Neighbor to the Northwest, reporting on an extensive tornado damage story in the Twin City area tonight. From studios in Minneapolis and St. Paul, 830 on your dial, this is WCCO. This is Dick Chapman and Charlie Boone, and Rob Brown has just stepped in here with some further information.
This word from the switchboard at the Northern Ordnance Company in Columbia Heights. Anyone can come into work tomorrow. It will be strictly clean-up work tomorrow at Northern Ordnance. We asked her what the damage was, and an official at Northern Ordnance in Columbia Heights stated the damage will run to several million dollars at that large industrial operation there. And repeating again, any work tomorrow will be strictly clean-up work at Northern Ordnance.
Right.
Fridley, Columbia Heights.
Yeah, New Brighton, yeah.
Well, we had a lady just called in that said watching the storm system move toward White Bear Lake now. Mm-hmm. Large hail and winds. And
winds,
rain.
A heavy thunderstorm, yes. Thank heavens nobody's calling in reporting funnels. It was weird there for a while, Charlie, with everybody
almost
saying...
Almost everywhere.
I'm looking at this funnel over my house, and there's two or three out here, and, you know, it seemed almost impossible, but apparently we had the real thing
could
going.
Could be that many, and
that
apparently
right,
there were.
That's right.
Yeah, very unusual situation, and...
Let me take just about two or three minutes here for a brief rundown of worldwide news, which
we
haven't had any of here for a while. Four U.S. Marines were killed and one wounded during a skirmish with rebels in the Dominican Republic's capital city of Santo Domingo. Today, despite a ceasefire, three other U.S. servicemen were wounded. Two Marines were captured by the insurgents and later released. The United States command said the fighting broke out after a Marine patrol made a wrong turn and wandered into rebel territory. The rebels charged that the terms of the ceasefire had been violated, and that's why there was shooting and killing. More than 4,000 U.S. Marines have landed on a beach in South Vietnam, about 340 miles northeast of Saigon. A new air base is to be built in the landing area, about 60 miles south of Da Nang. And a U.S. announcement, the headquarters of the 3rd Marine Amphibious Force will be set up there. The new Marine landings came as transport planes ferried more Army paratroopers from Okinawa to air bases in South Vietnam. The new Marines apparently also are from Okinawa. Their landings brings the strength of the Marine Combat Force in South Vietnam to almost 13,000 men. The jury deciding the case of Ku Klux Klansman Colley Leroy Wilkins, Jr. in Hainesville, Alabama, has gone to bed for the night and will resume deliberations on Friday. Wilkins is charged with first-degree murder in the shooting death of a white civil rights worker from Detroit, Mrs. Viola Liuzzo. Mrs. Liuzzo was slain on the night of March 25th while helping to transport voting rights marches from Montgomery to Selma. The jury foreman told the judge that the jurors did not appear to be near a verdict. The British Labour government of Harold Wilson has won a narrow 4-vote victory in the House of Commons on its plan to nationalize 90% of the nation's steel industry. The closeness of the vote indicated that the government may have to revise the plan before the steel bill itself is introduced later this spring. Away from the storm story, in our own neck of the woods, this news... A 25-year-old Minneapolis printer, Michael P. Redmond, was seized by federal authorities today and charged with manufacturing counterfeit printing plates and some $15,000 in fraudulent $5 bills. Redmond was held under $1,000 bond pending a court appearance Monday. U.S. Attorney Miles Lord said Redmond, employed by a St. Paul printing firm, made the plates after work hours without his employer's knowledge on or about January 5th. Lord said Redmond made a mistake in printing the bills, discarding some $15,000 in fives on which the back of the bill was upside down. The discarded bills were found by a paper converting firm and turned over to the U.S. Secret Service. So far as the government knows, Lord said only one of the bills was in circulation. The Minnesota Senate Tax Committee killed one of Governor Karl Rolvaag's tax bills today by a vote of 12-3. The committee recommended indefinite postponement of proposals for a 3% tax on new automobiles. The motion was made by Senator Norm Larson of Ada, who said he thought it unfair to single out one group for such a tax. Said Larson, if you want a sales tax, why don't you support a general sales tax?
Dick, apparently there's new damage reported from a storm that just went through Fridley. The Fridley Terrace Trailer Park reports that trailers are overturned, broken in half, completely flattened. And this is not an earlier storm, but a storm that just went through, and I have a gentleman on the line right now. Hello?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, I'm out here at the Fridley Trailer Court. And this storm just came through about 10 minutes ago.
What kind of... Do you think it was a tornado?
Yes, I think... Well, we were looking... We're just lucky that the house is even still here. Our trailer. We were looking out, and these black clouds were up above, and I didn't actually see a funnel, but my wife says she thought she did.
All right, but at least there was a heck of a windstorm, is that it?
Windstorm? Man, there's this trailer that's leaning up against ours now, and there's one across the street.
How many trailers do you think are broken and
It's hard to tell, sir. We had maybe 30 or 40 in our group here, and I think there's less than a handful left that are even standing.
And what's the exact location in Fridley?
In Fridley?
No, I mean your trailer court location.
Well, this is 74th in Lexington.
That wouldn't be Fridley, then. You're clear over to where? New Brighton,
Yeah, that's where it's...
I see. Okay, very good. New Brighton. We're just trying to figure what's next in path. You're kind of helping us warn some other people, you see. If it went by you, it's probably headed towards White Bear Lake. Is that right?
That's more or less, yes.
Okay.
That's where it's going.
Can you tell if anybody got hurt out there?
We can't tell. We heard some shouting. We're not sure. My wife just went outside. It seems to have calmed down now a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for the report.
Oh, thank
you. You betcha. Thank you, sir. That
thank
call
you
just
much.
In from New Brighton A windstorm just went through there about 10 minutes ago, which would have been about 10 o'clock straight up. And, well, let's see, we don't exactly know the exact angle of the wind, but folks in the vicinity of Arden Hills, White Bear Lake, Bald Eagle in that direction, straight northwest of northeast of New Brighton, should stand warned that there is a new windstorm moving in that direction now.
Oh, very good.
Back to our news from elsewhere in this news-packed day. Here's a late development from Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin.
Hello.
A Wisconsin Rapids man has been charged with bank robbery in the holdup today of the Community State Bank at Wisconsin Rapids. Police Chief Rudolph Exner said 30-year-old Lawrence Connolly will be arraigned tomorrow. Exner said all but $7 of the $3,595 taken was recovered in Connolly's home. A bill to extend coverage of the state's Fair Housing Act to single-family, owner-occupied dwellings was passed by the Minnesota Senate today and sent to the House. There was no opposition to that important fair housing bill. Minnesota's Parks Director, U.W. Hella, denied today that he is ever influenced by four state legislators whose names have been brought into hearings concerning state parkland purchases. Hella again appeared as a witness before a seven-member House committee investigating the $30,000 purchase of a tract for Bearhead Lake State Park near Tower. Hella was asked a series of questions by committee attorney Chaim Siegel to the effect of whether his judgment was influenced by contacts with Senator Paul Toohey of South St. Paul, Representative Fred Cina of Aurora, Senator Tom Vukelich of Gilbert, and the late Senator Gordon Butler of Duluth, and said, Hella, not in the slightest. Previous testimony told of Toohey being the representative of Walter Milner, seller of the controversial tract at Bearhead Lake. Other testimony today involved names of the three other lawmakers in connection with two other tracts. Other testimony involved purchases of condemnation of land for Fort Snelling State Park, some of which was flooded this spring. Back to Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Assembly okayed a resolution today calling for a constitutional amendment to let school districts excuse students from class to attend religious instruction. And Governor Warren Knowles announced today that he and Wisconsin's Assembly leaders have agreed on a 6-point highway traffic safety program. Our late information on the storm has now taken a new turn with a brand new windstorm. After an evening terror-filled with tornado funnels around the Twin City areas, we've had a new windstorm rip through New Brighton, north of the Twin Cities. Charlie?
I have on the line right now Earl Truth, who is a teacher at the Fridley Junior High. Is that right, Earl?
Yes, that's right. Is this Charlie or...
This is Charlie and Dick Chapman here, and you wanted to convey a message to parents of some of the children?
Yes, Dick. We had the fair on at the junior high school, and a number of the students didn't get home. Mr. Parks, for example, just told me he tried to get through with a load of children up to somewhere around 61st and University, and he came back to the school because he wasn't able to get through. So if the parents would be patient, I'm sure that they will get them there sooner or later. But the territory between University and Highway 65 and south of Highway 100 and a little bit beyond 61st is, I'd say, a disaster area.
It occurs to...
I talked to Mr. Hansen, the superintendent, just a moment ago, and he said that they would have to cancel school in the Fridley School District for some time before they get things straightened out.
Would you kind of outline that area you mentioned again?
Yeah, south of 100, as far north as 61st or Rice Creek, and between University and 65.
Yeah, I see.
Homes, the roofs are off of houses, the windows are out. The Parkview School is, there's a lot of damage in Parkview School, a lot of damage in Hayes School, a lot of damage in the high school, and very much damage in the junior high school.
Okay. Very good.
Roofs off, I've been waiting around in a couple of inches of water, moving pianos and desks and so forth, to try to get it out of some of the rain in the high school. And the windows are out in most of the inner court areas in high school, and of course the junior high is in very bad shape.
How many kids do you have there with you this evening that can't get home?
Well, I wouldn't dare say because they're around in this car and that car. Now, one group in particular I can mention to you, the track coach, Bob Johnson, tried to get his track team home. They came back from a track event, and he has some of the track team with him. He may have called you. I suggested that he try to call and let you know. I don't know whether they got a hold of you or not, because we have no power or telephones, you see, in the school or that area.
Uh-huh.
And he was going to call. Now, the boys are with him in his house.
Oh, I see.
So those who have the boys in the track team will know where they are.
Well, it's possible that an awful lot of folks, because of the extreme debris in the streets, will have to spend the night elsewhere.
Oh, definitely so. A couple of the teachers came back and were just frantic. They didn't know what to do or where to go because they can't even get out of the area in some spots. They're just hemmed in with this and that. And it's very possible that they'll have to spend the night somewhere else. And they're going through the building, and really the streets are in a bad shape with power lines down. I certainly think that the young people and the children in that area ought to stay in and keep off the streets. And, of course, keep away from that area as far as driving is concerned. There's a real traffic jam up in there.
All right, Earl. Thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome.
Very good. Earl Trude, the teacher at Fridley Schools. We have a report from Navarre that used cars and a lot turned upside down, cars spread all over, and there was a liquor store there in Navarre which was heavily damaged. And we mentioned Northern Ordnance in Fridley. Two boxcars flew through the carpenter shop, and parts of the roof were torn off, so they had heavy damage there in Fridley.
What was that estimate of damage at the Northern Ordnance plant?
I don't remember.
Several $1 million?
Was it really that high?
That's right.
Lilligren, is he there? Chuck Lilligren in our WCCO mobile unit. Come in, Chuck.
All right, Charlie and Dick. We are at Northern Ordnance right at present, and this is an awe-inspiring sight. The couple of the huge high-tension towers that carry the high-tension lines are down, just bent completely over. As we drive along, we see cars, several of them that must have been on the highway at the time, thrown off the road. One is just about flattened. Great deal of damage here, fenced down for hundreds of yards around Northern Ordnance. Right at the entrance to Northern Ordnance, there is a there's one of the high-tension towers down, and it's a scene of desolation. If they say millions of dollars damage, Charlie, I'm sure that they mean it, because there's quite a bit here. Actually, what apparently happened, we came from the Camden District, and of course that's right across the river from this area, and apparently the storm came through that way at this particular windstorm. And we might also mention, Charlie, that there must be a good solid mile or more of cars just stopped right on the highway here, going nowhere, and sightseers apparently who are sitting now and will be cooling their heels for quite some time to come, we're sure, because of the congestion and because of the fact that there's traffic stopped. I don't even know if they've been able to get to all the cars to see if there were people injured in them. And we've seen emergency vehicles trying to move, but we actually saw an instance where a vehicle with a siren was unable to go anywhere. Back to you now, Charlie and Dick.
Say, Chuck, Dick has a question for you concerning the storm that we understand just passed through, another storm passing through Fridley.
Yeah, are you in a windy area right now?
No. Moments ago, we were in an area where we had a little hail, but we didn't have any strong wind right where we were. We understand that it went over towards New Brighton way. We heard that. We've been listening to you, of course. We didn't have any wind. It seemed as though we were going to have, and we were a little worried. The rain started coming down, and we heard some quarter-inch hail. But actually, right now, it's just sprinkling a little bit and lightning off in the distance.
Uh-huh. Well, apparently, there was a good whiplash through that trailer cord, as you heard, which wouldn't have been too far from you. That's why we ask.
Okay. It sounded, Charlie as and Dick, we noticed also that the man that called you just realized, apparently, the tremendous damage done, and you could tell it in his voice as his wife came back in the trailer. I'm sure it was bad damage. I don't know if you can hear now. There's an emergency vehicle behind us going somewhere. We hear a siren again. It's probably too far off for you to hear, but this has been the sound we've heard in our travels around this area, sirens and many people out, volunteers with flashlights helping to direct traffic. As we say, in the Camden area, which apparently was the only area within the Twin Cities, as far as we've been able to determine, that was actually hit by these heavy winds, there is extensive damage. And, of course, with lack of communication between emergency units, I'm sure that it'll be a long time before it's discovered just how many dollars damage and how many injuries there were. We'll turn things back to you now, fellas, and continue with your coverage.
Okay, we're extremely anxious for you, if you can, to make it as far as Spring Lake Park and Coon Rapids, where information is sketchy at the moment, and we think maybe yours will be one of the only ways to get the information out of there through the mobile unit.
We're going to try. That's where we're heading. But as I say, there's no traffic moving in some of these areas, and we will try and try to get some of the emergency information out if we can get to it.
Right now, I guess you can hear the ambulance, and that ambulance, although it sounds like it's moving fast, is moving at about 15 miles an hour through long strings of cars.
Very good. Thank you.
Chuck Lilligren reporting from our WCCO radio mobile unit.
When we warn sightseers to stay away from the area, we don't mean to bum-rap those people who are not sightseers. I realize a lot of folks get caught and get hung up in these areas quite by accident. They don't mean to get into the way, and so we're not, you know, trying to run people down for being trapped in a long string of traffic, you know, in the bad damage areas, but there obviously has been extra traffic in these areas, which just made it that much worse. And it's these people who are warned to stay away by all law enforcement agencies.
We might repeat again that the tornado warnings are still out as far as the Weather Bureau is concerned for the Twin City area.
That's
severe
right.
Severe weather.
Weather people have not lifted the warning for the Twin City area, and well, they shouldn't have because of that New Brighton report we just had
right.
a few moments ago. Here's some more sketchy information that's coming in, little bits and pieces here and there. Navarre, that's in the Lake Minnetonka area, is said that the used cars on one of the used car lots are turned upside down, and cars are spread all over the used car lot. The liquor store was heavily damaged at Navarre. Fridley Terrace, a trailer park, trailers were turned over and broken in half. The terrace area completely flattened.
That's
that
the place where
the,
that was.
That's, right.
That's the same place.
The gentleman
the
called
we
Tim. Oh, that was about 15 minutes ago when that happened.
Yeah.
I hope that storm has given up the ghost, but we don't know which way it went from there. It was headed off towards White Bear Lake, off northwest in the very area that the warning zone was laid out. Just to repeat for you folks that may lay ahead of the turbulence, that includes a big section of Wisconsin north and west of the Twin Cities.
Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Let's see if we can't just kind of wrap up some of the information that has occurred in the past 2.5 to 3 hours with a little 1 or 2 minute summary here. At least 2 persons have been killed and 50 injured tonight. This is the count we have now because of the several tornadoes touching down in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. One of the victims has been identified as 56-year-old Ray Purvis. Purvis, that's a new... his name was not given as that earlier. This is what he's identified as now. Ray Purvis, in his barn near Norwood, Minnesota, about 35 miles west of the Twin Cities, when the funnel touched down. Destroyed the barn, and Purvis's body was found about 100 feet away. He was described as a rather well-known Holstein breeder. 79-year-old Mrs. Alma Grindy of Duluth, Minnesota, was killed when a twister demolished her son's home in Spring Lake Park, Minnesota. That's she's from Duluth, but was visiting her home in Spring Lake Park in the Twin City area when the twister touched down. And the victim's identified as 79-year-old Mrs. Alma Grindy. She died at Mercy Hospital in Coon Rapids, where her daughter-in-law is reported in critical condition. Authorities say Mrs. Grindy, her son Lloyd, the address of the house was 841 Ballantine Lane, and his wife were getting ready to take to the basement when the twister hit. The victim and her daughter-in-law were blown from the house. Grindy was also injured, but not as seriously. A doctor at Mercy Hospital said at least 50 persons have been treated at the hospital, and at least 25 are in critical condition. That's the first definite word we've had from Mercy Hospital on the number of injured and the seriousness of the injuries, and it sounds kind of bad in that area.
We're getting a lot of calls, Dick, from the northern parts of Twin Cities, indicating that the power is out, wondering when it will be restored, and with the tremendous traffic in that area, the various, like NSP and so on, are going to have a difficulty, I imagine, getting through. And the highway department right now is denying entry into Coon Rapids and Spring Lake Park on Highway 10. Sightseers must stay away.
They've blocked the roads then.
They've blocked the roads, right. So there's nothing to see because you won't get very far because of the traffic and because the area is blocked by the highway department.
Someone informed me here earlier that Paul Giel might try to run in some sports here that we haven't had for some time, but I don't see him around. Do you?
I saw him a moment ago, and maybe we can track him down again. Because we had a ball game today at the Met,
which
saw Robin Roberts pitch a four-hitter.
Good old Robin.
And even hit a single to break that tie and win the ball game 5-1 for Baltimore. But we won the series 2-1. So Paul will have more details on that ball game and others. Some ball games going right now around the nation.
People continue to wonder if the Twin City area is still in a severe warning zone, and as far as we know from the Weather Bureau, it is. The Weather Bureau said tornado and severe thunderstorms are expected to be a possibility. From the Twin Cities area, into Wisconsin northeastward, and they include the counties of Barron, Dunn, Rusk, Chippewa, Polk, St. Croix, Pierce, and northern Eau Claire counties, and the Weather Bureau concluded that bulletin by saying later advisories will be issued as required, and they have not lifted the warning as yet. We just had a new windstorm, not necessarily a tornado, because no one could be sure they saw a funnel, but they know it was strong enough to turn trailers upside down and crumble trailer homes in the New Brighton area about 15 to 20 minutes ago. We have had no further word on that severe area of wind since it went through that area. It must have been highly localized because our own mobile unit, not far from the trailer court in Fridley and New Brighton, were unaware that a strong wind had gone through. They do, however, say that there is extreme damage at the Northern Ordnance plant in New Brighton, and also that travel is almost impossible. It takes forever to get anywhere because of long backed-up lines of traffic and because major routes and streets are strewn with overturned trees, wrecked automobiles, downed power lines, and what have you. One of the severe areas of North Minneapolis apparently is just south of Highway 100 and east of or west of University Avenue, which would be Columbia Heights and New Brighton area, Fridley. Extreme damage reported in those areas, but it's difficult to pin down details because phone lines are out and people cannot move in the area except on foot. Cars are backed up all around the Beltline, apparently, and so it goes. And even yet, our severe weather is not through because of hail continuing to be reported in various locations. I never knew hail to fall in so many places so often and so frequently. And
you're speaking of hail, Dick. Report just in from Burnsville. Hail 1.5 inches in diameter falling there right at this moment.
Here again, you see, is and the natural movement of the weather would bring it on through the Twin City area again from Burnsville.
We have a lady on the line. She has several relatives all around. Spring Lake Park, you say you can't contact them because the lines are down and the traffic is so bad nobody can get through. Is that it?
Yes, that's right. We've called the hospitals out there, and they're trying to get the people out. But they said there are so many sightseers on the road and coming in there that they can't find the people. They said that all we can do is just wait and pray that they can find them because they can't even locate the victims. They haven't got any. They've got volunteers coming out, but the volunteers can't get through the traffic either.
And you said you had a relative in Minnetonka area?
Yes, I have my aunt living out there. She lives about 3 blocks from Lake Minnetonka. She says that there's been docks torn up out there. There are boats that are out in the middle of the lake, and in their front yard they have 2 pieces of plywood and a piece of steel that must weigh about 100 pounds. They don't know where it came from, but their house itself wasn't damaged.
Very good, ma'am. Thank you for calling.
All right, thank you.
It's 10:30 Central Standard Time. 10:30 Central Standard Time. And this special tornado news coverage is coming to you from the good neighbor to the northwest with studios in Minneapolis and St. Paul at 830-WCCO. Charlie Boone and Dick Chapman here in WCCO's hastily put together reporting center.
Earlier we had some reports from Bob Zellmer from the Shakopee radio station from KSSM, who has been reporting in from their mobile unit. And reporting in from Chanhassen, and he's standing by right now. Do you have a report, Bob?
Yes, Charlie. We've got some specific information from the Chanhassen mayor, Gene Coulter. He would like to have us tell volunteers, that is people who want to volunteer to come out into the area for assistance here at Chanhassen, not to do so until the specific request officially comes out from his office. And by the same token, of course, he would send out the plea once again for sightseers to please stay away from the area so as not to hamper the work that necessarily must go on, the restoration of power lines and utilities, this sort of thing. So much for the word from the mayor's office here in Chanhassen. Everything seems to be pretty well under control. People whose homes were extensively damaged or totally destroyed have been taken out of their homes and are being put up now with neighbors, friends, and relatives, this sort of thing. So the situation here is quite calm, I must admit, in spite of the rest of the entire situation.
Fine, Bob.
By way of information, so far as the area to the northwest of us, I talked with Dick Mingo, the baseball coach at Waconia, Actually, Dick lives here in Chanhassen, but he was in Waconia earlier this evening. They had a ball game over there, I understand. And as Dick was coming back between Waconia and Victoria, he spotted a twister that crossed the highway there. Now, that would be Highway 5. And Dick said that at this time, when he saw the twister cross the road, evidently causing a lot of damage and touching down, he turned around, went back to Waconia, and reported that earlier this evening, now this was approximately 6 o'clock or so, there was considerable rain, hail, and wind over in that area, but we haven't had any more specific reports from the Waconia or Victoria area. Now, the power is still off here in Chanhassen. We understand that a telephone service is near impossible. Some of the phones are completely out, and others you have to wait for several minutes even to get so much as dial tone.
We understand, Bob.
Mike Boyd and I are going to attempt traveling over to the Norwood area, which we understand is very hard hit, and we'll try. I don't know if our reception from that point is going to be satisfactory or not, but we'll try when we reach the Norwood area, and if possible, we'll give you a report from there.
Okay, Bob Zellmer reporting for WCCO Radio News. They expect power within an hour to some parts of Chanhassen, by the way, that latest report from the mayor in Chanhassen. St. Louis Park by the Norwood Plaza on Highway 7, that's a very strong hail reported there just a moment ago. And Johnny Walker is now available. He's reporting in from Wayzata. Johnny?
No, Charlie, I've just come through Navarre, and I'm approaching Island Park. And when I say I'm just coming through Navarre, I mean what was Navarre. Navarre no longer exists, at least the crossroads that are so well known to so many people where County Road 15 and County Road 19 cross just aren't anymore. They are completely leveled. It's unbelievable. I have counted at least 35 cars that are in some other position than their original one, most of them upside down on their sides, on their tops. There's a school bus or two tipped over. Every building close to the crossroads is severely damaged. The service stations are almost all completely gone. Just a shell standing, much looking like a bombing has taken place there. And further out on Casco Point, several homes have been severely damaged. It's unbelievable. This crossroads of Navarre sits high on the point there and has always been a favorite crossroad intersection for many, many people, but it just isn't there anymore. It's just one big pile of rubble.
Johnny, I flew over that area Saturday in the helicopter, and I remember in that particular place you just mentioned, a lot of very beautiful homes.
There are some homes close to the lake by there. The homes at the appear, many of the lake homes have had some damage, and the trees in the area have been damaged also, but right in the Navarre business district, right on the main roads, seem to be where the brunt of the activity has taken place, and it certainly has reduced it to much of a rubble.
Okay, John, where are you going now?
I'm going on out to Island Park to do some more reporting out there.
Fine. Well, give us a call when you get there, will you?
I'll do that.
John Radio News Bureau, reporting then from Navarre. And the only identification we have on two fatalities so far have been confirmed here in the past hour or two. One was 56-year-old Ray Purvis of Norwood, Minnesota, and he was killed in his barn near Norwood when a funnel ripped it apart. 76-year-old Mrs. Alma Grindy of Duluth, who was visiting her son and daughter-in-law at Spring Lake Park. A funnel destroyed that home. Those are two fatalities identified tonight. The Mercy Hospital in the Coon Rapids area reports 50 injuries, 25 critical hospitalizations, 25 people in critical condition. Names, of course, are difficult to come by at this moment, but we hope to wrap this up during the evening.
Hale reported now moving from Burnsville to Egan Township on its way to the International Airport, which has been apparently open all evening.
We have an emergency message from Mercy Hospital in Anoka and Coon Rapids. The hospital is looking for a 5-year-old boy, Timothy Ratcliffe, of 7350 Memory Lane in Melody Manor of Fridley. The boy's mother is at North Memorial Hospital. The father is unable to locate the child. Anyone knowing the whereabouts of 5-year-old Timothy Ratcliffe of 7350 Memory Lane in Fridley should call Mr. Goodman at Walnut 6. 2269 Walnut 6 2269.
Just a second. We have a lady in New Brighton proper, which indicated hail and strong winds went through there again just 3 minutes ago. Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, we're right in New Brighton proper.
Uh-huh.
And about 2 or 3 minutes ago, an old hail about the size, about half inch maybe, went through with some heavy rain and some wind. Not, and it didn't last but 2 or 3 minutes.
Uh-huh.
But that just happened 2 or 3 minutes ago.
That's about the third storm, or at least three storms that have gone through New Brighton.
That's
yes,
right.
Yes, it seems that way.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Well, what this is just a seething mass of turbulence, and as you'll recall in that earlier bulletin from the Weather Bureau, Charlie, it was described as 30 to 40 miles deep and moving slowly. Inside of this line, this squall line of thunderstorms, are several areas of severe activity, and as they come along, they pop up in various locations, moving slowly through the Twin City area. As a matter of fact, I dare say there's probably some damage up and down, north and south of the Twin Cities that we don't even know about as yet because of communications problems and so forth, because the Weather Bureau radar indicated that that long line of squall line of thunderstorms reached all the way from Duluth in a kind of a curving line back across the Twin Cities down into Iowa. So there's where we stand, and the warning has not been lifted for the Twin Cities or the adjoining section of Wisconsin from the Twin Cities on northeastward into Wisconsin. And the Weather Bureau has advised us only that they will notify us in later advisories. They did not even put a time limit on this particular warning. It's just in effect now and continues in effect. Charlie is operating the phone here in our WCCO, what has been our flood service center, and suddenly has changed to another spring disaster-type warning center.
Okay.
And we'll try and hang with it here as we wrap up information. Difficult beyond words to get accurate information after such a catastrophe hits.
The Northern Ordnance,
Weather Bureau indicates that the temperature has been around 70 degrees so far this evening, and the Twin Cities probably fluctuating wildly during the thunderstorms and hailstorms. Humidity has remained high, anywhere from 100% down to 80%. And the law enforcement agencies, not only sheriffs, but local police forces in the suburban communities and in Minneapolis, have pleaded with sightseers to stay out of damage areas because of extreme choking traffic jams, not only because of the cars, but also because of the downed trees and wires. One of the real bad areas. Apparently, you cannot go north, south, or west out of the Twin Cities area without extreme difficulty. Travel in those directions is almost impossible and, according to the Highway Patrol, inadvisable. North, south, or west of the Twin Cities.
We just had a note from Civil Defense. They are sending from Richfield a light plant to the emergency shelter, which has been established at 10 and 65 in Spring Lake Park to help with victims there. And apparently they're trying to get through on a 560 exchange and can't get through. It's tied up. And a lot of people are making calls, I'm sure, and many of them necessary, but a lot of unnecessary calls. And the telephone company, I'm sure, would appreciate it. And emergency measures are being taken. They want to get through. It's difficult. So do not make any unnecessary telephone calls.
For the benefit of those folks in Chanhassen, Charlie, what was that advisement you had there about
their
the return power, to power?
They expect power within an hour to some parts of Chanhassen, according to the mayor of Chanhassen. That's the latest word we had. We're getting reports from all over various parts of the Twin City, hail falling.